you'll find out that I begin to drop back and bring up the harvest. You'll begin to see more and more services where I drop back into foundation and bring forward the harvest. More and more of your services and even the word coming forth by my instructors will be more and more once again on an evangelistic level and a foundational level and a baptismal level. For I desire this harvest. And those of you that have come forward, this is your finest hour to labor in the Spirit to see these things established. So watch your services as they turn into evangelistic services and foundational teaching services and baptisms of my Spirit that will harvest the lost and bring them into this army, this last day army, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Mahalosaneni. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glorify you. Glorify you, Jesus. And a hallelujah. Onda keresi ni. Masa keresi ni. You may be seated. Harry, you stay. Rasolo deni. Halesi dia deni. Just pray. Just continue to pray. All of you that are watching with us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Worship you. Hallelujah. Jesus, lift those hands. Magnify you, Jesus. Mora kerese. Manda kerese. I love you. I love you. I love you. We love you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Holy, he say, ha, monda keresidi. Jesus, ha, Jesus, 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 mo keresidi. We worship you, we worship you. We worship you. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, presence. Hay halona ilachanositi, your presence, Jesus. Your presence. Hallelujah. As you know, we're seeking God and receiving the next level of the outpouring. Hallelujah. Worship you, Jesus. In the past, as patrons of revival and holding a certain level of authority historically as well as biblically, studying revivals. It's inspired our faith. We studied and we watched some films on the different major revivals since the early fathers, the apostles, and I'm talking about modern day revivals. And we studied the Hebridean revival, and that's the islands off the coast of Scotland. The island of Lewis, by the way, was an island that President Trump's mother was born on, and that's where the Hebrides revival started. Two sisters prayed it in. The Welsh revival was wonderful. I'm trying to remember them. The layman's revival in New York, the Korean revival. They were all just so wonderful. But they pretty much were harvest revival, as in born again, getting people saved, and that's wonderful. But very little power. There was one revival that stands head and shoulders above them all, and that it combined the harvest and the miracles with a complete marriage of soul winning and great miracles. And I don't know how much he'll have me read this, but I know he wants me to read at least some of it. I can't read all of it because later we're going to give a opportunity after I teach a little bit for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we want you baptized. Baptized. We want you going away not with stammering lips, or not almost there. The word baptism means immersion, a completeness. And everybody that comes up today is going to be filled. Everybody. There won't be one that will go away. Everybody will be filled. But that's the focus of the Holy Spirit this morning, and so we're just going to follow His focus. And I ask the worship team, don't stop praying in tongues when you walk out of that door until the service is over. And I'm asking that of everybody that's filled with the Spirit and everybody that's watching. And you may be 1,000 miles away, but your anointing is resident in this house. The Azusa Street Revival. Now let me just tell you where some of you can find this, because a lot of you are going to ask me afterwards. And it's okay, don't ask me directly after service, because I might not address two people before service and said, I don't know what I said. I said, no, that's not right. This comes from, I believe there's 5 blogs that this young lady did on this. I guess young lady, I don't know. Her name's Karen Thompson. This is the first of 5 apart series, and I don't know why I come up with a third one. I guess it was the Holy Spirit. And I haven't digested all of them yet, but I will. And as the Holy Spirit has me read some of these, I will. But I said I'd show you or tell you. It's End Time Mysteries. You'll look up End Time Mysteries, the Azusa Street Revival. And Karen Thompson is the journalist. She's done her homework. She gives names. And the testimonial, they're They're real people. It's not like hearsay. And you can find that at, this is the May 8th one. I think they start in January of 22, May 8th of 2022. By End Time Mysteries blog, all together, / In America's Great Awakenings. Welcome to our third post of the Azusa Street Revival. In our last post, which was on 1-2-22, we talked about how revival began at Asbury Resident on Bonnie Street on April 9th, 1906. And God poured out his power on those in the meeting, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. The meeting at Asbury went for 3 days, 24/7. There was a nonstop singing, worshiping, shouting, and praising God continuously. The crowd grew to the point where it was physically impossible to accommodate all the people that came as it spread out into the streets of the neighborhood. The police told them they had to find a new place to meet. Based on the price they could afford, they found a broken-down two-story building at 312 Azusa Street in Los Angeles, California. When they relocated to Azusa Street, our location, that's when things begin to be astonishing. Now, I'll just tell you what I remember from another one of the blogs, is that when it was still at this location, when it started, in this little house, they couldn't find enough room, and people were climbing, all trying to get in there, climbing on the porch, and things were collapsing, and then people were filled the yard, but people would be slain. They were being slain out in the spirit, slain in the spirit, and they got slain in the spirit out in the street. And then a block away in the next street that paralleled, I guess, they were all being slain out in the yard. And then a block away, there's testimonies of this, it's documented. These people were falling in the streets and being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. It actually, on one of these, before it ever moved from Bonnie Bray Street, there was a traffic jam because, it, you know, in 1906 it was mostly horse and buggies. And they said the horses wouldn't step over the bodies, because people were in that, at least that one street where they were at, and a block over, people were laying out in the street from the glory that was coming. And the Los Angeles Police Department had to get out and try to redirect traffic because of all the traffic jam. Now that's glory. The revival moved to Azusa Street every day. God's power and glory were on display in ways never seen before during the Azusa Street revival. In all of America's history, there's never been a revival like it. Well, there's one coming. Hasn't been one like it, but there's one coming, and it's here. I can tell you, I can promise you it's here. Don't get a sidetrack here. There's never been one like it. What happened at Azusa had never been experienced before in any revival. They were experiencing a lot of firsts, and for that reason, the church didn't understand what was happening. Today, the term used to describe what was happening in Azusa Street revival was open heaven. I mean, you've ever heard that term. There was an open heaven on display every day during the entire length of the revival. One of the manifestations of an open heaven that took place at Azusa was the glory cloud, also known as Shekinah glory, Karen says. Being visible for all to see, it was said that the glory cloud literally dwelt at Azusa Street Mission, and it even hovered around the outside of the building during the revival, day after day and night after night, or revival day and night for the entire length of the revival for 3.5 years. Many times the glory cloud became so thick that little children would play hide and seek in the glory cloud. It wasn't just the glory cloud, it was other manifestations. I'll say it now so I don't forget, because it's Holy Spirit's bringing it to. When they moved to Azusa, this glory cloud went with them, and sometimes the fire. One time, John G. Lake and F.F. Bosworth were visiting and were in the building with William Seymour, which is the was the lead pastor, very humble black man. And they were visiting, and the glory was so strong, somebody, a neighbor, called the fire department. Because he said the building's on fire. There's flames shooting from the top of the building. And when they got there, F.F. Bosworth and John G. Lake and Brother Seymour went out and had to talk to the fire department, because they were willing to, ready to shut it down or find where the fire was at. And they had to explain to them, this is the glory of God. One man's description of the glory cloud was quite interesting. The Shekinah glory was hard to explain. He says it could only be described but not understood. He was awed by the glory, saying it was part of heaven coming down. At times he came into the building and there would be a kind of glow. But when God would start moving and performing his miracles, the glow would turn into smoke-like substance and would become even brighter. And when people walked through it, it would sort of roll. Sometimes the glory cloud would be so thick that would fill the entire building. He said it couldn't be blown away with a fan and you couldn't pick it up. People could walk through it, sit down in it, run their hands through it, and breathe it into their lungs. But one thing you could not do with the glory cloud is you couldn't capture it. There's a firsthand experience. One man gave an overall description of the scene you would encounter upon entering the Azusa Street Mission on any given day. He said when he came into the building, there was prayer and worship everywhere. The altar was filled with seekers. Some would be kneeling while others laid out flat on the floor. Everyone was doing something, and they were all seemingly lost in God. There was an extraordinary testimonies from people who came from other non-English speaking nations. Many of them shared similar experiences as to why they gave their lives to the Lord. They said when they came into the meeting, they heard someone speaking to them personally in their native language and telling them to repent of their sins and surrender their lives to the Lord Jesus. Of course, the people speaking in their native language did not know their native language. They were simply speaking in tongues as the Lord gave them utterance. We'll share a little bit about that later. Many who attended the revival had unique experience. A man named A.C. Valdez gave his eyewitness testimony of his first visit to the mission. When Mr. Valdez approached the building, he said he felt a strong pulling sensation. It was so strong, he said, I couldn't have turned away even if I wanted to.
Though it was a hot summer day when he and his mother stepped into the building, they felt a chill wind. They both began to tremble, and they looked around, and the people present noticed that they too were trembling. He said, "It felt as if I was surrounded by God." Some of this I won't go into. She just describes the humble beginnings. But let's not get ahead of the story. She says, let's go back to the very beginning. When they first moved into the building, the two-story building at 312 Azusa Street was first a church, and then it became a wholesale house and a warehouse and a lumber yard, a stockyard, a tombstone shop. It was a stable used with rooms for rent on the second floor. And that's the second floor is where William Seymour and his wife lived. By the way, when the glory hit her in Azusa, she'd never played a note on the piano. And the glory hit her, and she got baptized, I guess. When this all happened, when Seymour went to Bonnie Bray Street, he went over there on a mission. He didn't go there to Bonnie Bray. He went to another mission place in Los Angeles that a man named Parham's had sent him over there, and Parham said, "You're not ready to go," but he went anyway because he said, "The Holy Spirit's telling me to go." Well, when he got over there, the lady that was supposed to let him start preaching, he said he started teaching on the Holy Spirit, though he wasn't baptized himself. He couldn't pray in tongues himself. But he started teaching. He did one service, and she locked the doors on him, wouldn't let him in. Well, another man found him and said, I've got a house that you can use over on Bonnie Bray Street if you want to come over there. And so he did, and he wasn't filled, but they got together, him and seven men, and the glory of God hit, and they all got baptized, and they laid out in the Spirit. Then when his wife got filled, over at Azusa, because they moved from there after 3 days of nonstop, because the whole city turned out, or much of the city. She got baptized in the Holy Spirit and went over to the piano and just started playing. She started singing or playing, and she was speaking Hebrew. Somebody knew that she was speaking Hebrew. She was just fluently speaking Hebrew and playing. And it wasn't just when the anointing, she knew how to play the piano the rest of her life. All that was programmed instantly in her brain. So much, right, worship leaders? So just a little building, 2,400 square feet, but they packed them in there, and the people, thousands. By 1906, the building was broken down mess. All the windows and doors were broken, and it was filled with garbage. That's before they got it. And they had to go in there. I'm just kind of paraphrasing some of this so we go on here. Seymour decided against the usual setup you saw. They brought in sawdust. He decided against the usual setup you saw in most churches. Instead, he put the platform in the center of the room and placed the seating around the platform so a low prayer altar running along the platform. They improvised a pulpit using two empty wooden crates stacked on top of each other. So much for glamorous buildings, right? The second floor of the building had to be cleaned up as well. They turned it into an upper room where the seekers to come and tarry until they were endued with power from on high. Since the mission was open 24/7, they used the upstairs for a place of sleeping quarters for William Seymour and the rest of his staff. He said, she said, no matter how much work they did on the building, it was still a rundown building. This broken down facility with the humblest of accommodations did not deter people from coming to the meetings. Why? Because people want to be where God is. And nothing will prevent them from getting there where He is pouring out His glory. Hallelujah. We can open that door and we can open that door, and the people out in the field can hear us. The revival grew quickly and the crowds packed into a small mission every day for 3.5 years. It went just strong for 3.5 years. Though the building was open 24/7, official meetings ran from mid-morning to midnight, 7 days a week. Between those hours, there were as many as 9 services per day. Sometimes the meetings would flow into each other and would last 24 hours. What is fascinating is the meetings were never initiated by any leader. They started themselves, or more precisely, a more precise way to put it is the meetings were initiated and conducted by Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Today, we have a name for that. They simply call Holy Ghost meetings. Or we've been saying Jesus meetings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost meetings at Azusa Street were the first of many that followed since it talks about what happened after that. Just a little bit more. There'd be worship with testimonies. She talks about the Lord would move upon people to stand and give teaching about certain subjects. Lastly, the Holy Ghost meetings, the need of people would the needs people will be met, and the joy of the Lord will be manifested throughout. All of that was demonstrated at Azusa Street. The meetings would open with prayer, and there would be praise and worship with testimonies when people received an anointing and prompting to preach a message. They would simply stand up and preach. Now listen, somebody said, you can't duplicate something and expect. This all happened as a result of God's move. But when somebody received an anointing and prompted to preach, they would simply stand up and preach. If someone got up when the Holy Ghost did not prompt them to do so, they would be convicted immediately and sit back down. You know, things sometimes sound real good to you. And it sounds real good to you at home when you're going through your mind. I could share that. I could share that. I could share that. And it is good. But the Holy Spirit would convict them. How would He convict them? The anointing would just drop. People would say, oh, wasn't timing. The singing during the meetings was cappella. We're not going to do away with you guys. It just lets us know where the Holy Spirit, how basic He is. It was cappella, both in English and in tongues. The people would sing in tongues. It was said to have a heavenly quality, which was usually considering those doing the singing were non-professional singers. And none of the singing was rehearsed before service. It was always spontaneous, prompted by the Spirit. During these meetings, the Holy Spirit would flow throughout the people and would be slain in the Spirit. Or as some would say, they would fall out in the Spirit. Sometimes it would simply be one or two people who were slain. Sometimes it would be hundreds that would fall out in the Spirit. Very often, there would be masses of people that would simultaneously rush to the altar and seek the Lord. Just a little bit more. William Seymour and his wife, Jenny, lived on the second floor, and Seymour was a humble man who spent a great deal of time in prayer. He only came to the main floor when prompted by the Spirit to do so, and that meant he never followed a set pattern as to when and come and preach. He had a, I'm not even going to go into it. If I mention it now, you wouldn't. He had something real unordinary that he would do when he'd go to stage. You can, if you want to find out, you can look this up. It was just kind of something to isolate his mind and direct and keep him focused on God. Anyway, he would, well, I'll just read this part. Anyway, he'd take off the box. He'd put a box on his head, sit behind two boxes. Because he didn't want to get focused on anything other than God. He wasn't trying to be a spectacle. He would get up and do what the Spirit directed him to do. He might get up and preach, or he might go to a section where people were laying in cots, who all came from a hospital. Seymour would point to them and say, "Everyone in a cot, you're healed in the name of Jesus." And this is what's documented. Every single person in a cot were instantaneously healed from whatever they suffered. He would do the same thing when there was a section of people all in wheelchairs. Everybody in a wheelchair, in Jesus' name, get up. This is all of her, everything that she could find out. For the entire 3.5 years, the miraculous was a daily thing. And this is what she found out. Everybody say all. Everybody say all means everybody. All who came with a need had their needs met before they left the building. Does that sound like first time? Every time? All the time? She said there was no end to the miracles, and it goes on and on. That's good stuff. And I didn't have it in this. It was another blog. That wasn't the best. That was good. The best that I liked most in another blog was this. That it wasn't just being done by Seymour. And I don't know how she put it, but this would be a good way to say it. It was Joel's army. And Joel's army, an army, she said, especially young people, would meet these people coming in at the door on a daily basis. And she gave their name, so it wasn't like a hearsay. She gave the name of the people. And they'd meet them at the door, these thousands of people, and they would... They were like, you know, Gary's been using that term, locusts. They were like locusts. They'd jump on them like a chicken on a June bug, as Pastor Dave would say. These locusts would swarm them at the door, and these people would come in, and they'd give testimony. And they'd say, "Sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so handled this one." And they'd just jump on them. They'd find out what they were there for. Eye sockets that did not have an eyeball would appear. One lady had a specialty with teeth. She'd jump on people with teeth. They brought a little girl who had been terribly malnourished. She said, I really liked the way I did it. I'd put my finger in there. And where there was no teeth, where they'd rotted out, I'd put my finger in there and press sometimes against the gum and feel that tooth as it came up out of the gum, that new tooth. One little girl came in. She was like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old, young. She hadn't got the proper nutrients for her diet, and her teeth were all black and just rotted out. This particular lady, again, she prayed for her. And immediately, all of them just came out. She just spit them all out. The little girl said, I didn't feel anything when they all come loose. But she said, I did feel that real tingly feeling in my mouth when they all just instantly grew back. Hallelujah. Come on, what are we believing God for? What are we believing Him for? Another guy, he said, it was 3.5 years of nonstop. And they all got healed. Arms grew out. One guy came in with, he'd got 2 of his fingers cut off. Sawed off accidentally. And said, would you pray for me? The guy took his hand and lifted it in the air, and he watched 2 fingers grow out of his hand. The word said that they watched Jesus. They watched him as the maimed were made whole. The blind were being healed. I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about Azusa. I loved the testimony of the one particular guy that was these were all young adults. They were an army. They were like locusts. They'd come in at the door and people, they were being healed. It wasn't the services. It wasn't Seymour just saying, "Will wheelchair section, get up. Cot section, get up." It was this army. A guy came. He said he didn't even have the socket on one arm. It got twisted off in a machine at work. Now here's a good one. When they began to lay hands on him and pray, that Shekinah glory, he said, I had watched the bone socket form. And by the time it got to the outside of the socket, then he said it grew real fast. The whole thing, the whole arm just appeared out of nothing. Hallelujah. Some of you looking at me like you're shocked. Now, if this isn't what we're after, let's all go home. Because we've put him in this little tiny box. And tried to figure out how to get our bodies healed. When God is saying to all of us, I am your healer. Hallelujah. They brought one kid in. All these testimonies was not with Seymour. It was that army that was doing it. They brought one young teenager in. He'd had an aneurysm and it took his mind. You couldn't even communicate with his mom and daddy. Couldn't communicate with him. Dress him, whatever. Help him go to the potty or whatever. They brought him in and they said his brain's gone. Part of it's missing as far as because of the aneurysm. And they gave this one guy, this young man, he said, okay, I'll pray. He said, God will heal him. So they put him down in a chair and he started praying. The man started speaking to him and speaking. He started speaking. The parents didn't know. They'd never seen. He was saying some things, but he was saying it to the devil. And they said, they interrupt him. They said, he don't understand what you're saying. They were trying to help him. He said, do you want your son healed? And they said, yes. He said, well, then leave me alone. Leave me alone. Then he laid hands on him and he started convulsing. And they were all, oh God, they were really afraid for their son. He said, just leave him alone. Leave him alone. In a minute, intelligence came back. He stood up. He and the man prayed for him. They began to run and like the man in the book of Acts, leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If it happened then, it's going to happen now. The only thing is, when it starts, it won't last just 3.5 years. One lady, I wish I'd have written these names down. She documented this one lady, probably a young, what we would call a millennial now, part of that Joel's army. She prayed for over 3,000. In that year, or in those 3 years. And she got so many growths and cancers removed. She started, they knew her, because she'd carry a broom and a dustpan to church with her. She'd pray for them and just brush those cancers that came off the outsides and the growths, goiters, and all kinds of things. One dear lady had these are young people. 20s and 30s. She got so many cripples out of wheelchairs. This is going on besides for the services. In fact, the services were just a side note. She'd have them come in and she had a certain bench. Some people, once they'd seen it done a certain way, they wanted to do it. She'd say, put your feet up here on this bench. She had some kind of bench there. She'd help them even if they couldn't get their feet up. She'd pray for them, and then she'd get them stood up. And that was it. That was it. It was over. Everybody got healed. First time, every time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad I go to this church, and I'm glad you do too. Bless you, Jesus. And people were being saved by the thousands. By the thousands, they were being saved. We worship you, Jesus. Would you lift your hands? Harry, pull it up a little bit. Hallelujah. It's 11:23. We're going to teach a little bit on the Holy Spirit. I've asked that any of the older ones maybe could come back in here. Some of them have been filled. And we don't want to pressure anyone. Not the little ones or the ones in between. This is all on your own volition. But I can tell you that as far as ages when kids can be filled. Amber, how old were you when you were filled with the Spirit? 4. So 4 years old. And she just, I mean, she got baptized, really filled. So, sometimes kids are ready, sometimes they're not. You don't force that. And you don't force it with anybody. But when people are ready and when they want to, and they see it, and they have the faith for it, it's time. It's time. Hallelujah. Worship you, Jesus. Glorify you. So we're not really concerned about a half hour from now. Somebody said, well, I am. Listen, I'm going to tell you, and I'm not going to do this to try to be, you know, you can do certain things, just like all of that Azusa Street stuff. We want all of those signs and wonders. But we're not going to start duplicating all of the different things they did and thought and think, oh, that brings. You can still do all those particular things. But what they did do was there was a strong emphasis on praying in the Spirit. But Seymour told the people, don't, when you go out on the streets, you can get them filled, but put the emphasis on Jesus. That's where the emphasis should be. Get them born again. So you'll find that some of the services, all I can say is, if at times you have to leave, that's fine. I think in the days ahead you won't want to leave. But structure your Sundays. Let it be like, I can't hardly do that because I have no idea what the day is going to be like. Just structure your Sundays like that. You can give God one day like that. And we won't go over at different times just to prove that we're trying to be spiritual. But at the same time, if I look up and it's 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, it really won't matter. And people that have to go, they just can't stay that long. That's okay too. And I know you got kids, but what I'm saying is there won't be any precedence on time. But then again, we won't prove that we're spiritual by trying to go over time either, because that doesn't work. That's a facade. Hallelujah. How you doing, man? Oh, you're comfortable, because I didn't know if I'd leave you up there. I could just... Let's make you work. Okay. Hallelujah, Jesus. So anybody that wants to be filled will be filled today. And it's very important. The very first thing that, even before you put a Bible, or simultaneously before you put a Bible in their hands, if you can, you want to get them filled. That's born again and spirit filled. And you want to get them started in the Word of God, but unless they get a teacher, they're kind of a little bit at a disadvantage, a big disadvantage. The power starts with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to answer in the next few moments some questions. I'm not going to teach Dave's book. I'm just going to, in fact, I don't have anything written out of my notes from his book, but it's just the Word of God. We're going to answer questions like, is it for everybody? I can't pray in tongues anytime I want to, right? Wrong. Is tongues supposed to be interpreted when I speak in tongues? Can I speak in tongues out loud in a church service, or am I to remain silent? We'll get to all of that in just a few moments. Scripturally based. I'll show you from Scripture. But I will tell you this, as Joel's army going out there, depend primarily on the anointing. And getting people saved and getting people filled with the Spirit. Now I'm going to teach a little bit, but the reason why I'm teaching is that you'll have a continual foundation of Word under you, so you'll continually know what you know and believe. And if it comes up, you can help them. But depend so much on the Holy Spirit and the anointing. Don't overtalk the anointing. You know when you're trying to talk to somebody and they're overtalking you? And I've done that. In other words, let them say it. And I'm saying that about the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit do it. In other words, you may have a planned course of how you want to, you're thinking in your mind, but when they're ready, they're ready. And well, I didn't. 5 or 6. But if they're ready, go ahead and give it to them. Don't overtalk the Holy Spirit. Well, I can teach you a lot more. The anointing's now. Stop talking, lay hands, and help them to receive. Hallelujah. It's like Peter with Cornelius, the centurion. He's halfway through his message, and the Holy Spirit falls on him, and he's like, how rude can you... He didn't say that. It's like, how rude can you get? I was halfway through my message, and you're all speaking in tongues. Let the Holy Spirit do it. Don't overtalk him. If it's time to go ahead, you might get... I'll tell you, the further we get into revival, the less that I'll have to do any hardly teaching on it at all. We'll just bring them up here and say, you want to be filled with this Holy Spirit? Yeah. Who's that? It's God. Okay, give me more. Hallelujah. But let him do it. Let him do it. Hallelujah. I think so. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. You say Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. Now, so you can see it in your Bible if you want to look at it. Go to Mark 16, and we'll look at verses 14 and following. So this is the ascension. This is where Jesus is received up into heaven, and this is the commonly called one of those places where they call the Great Commission. And those who really love evangelism, and rightfully so, see this as go. In a moment, we'll see the ascension in wait. And both of them are true. But this is the ascension in go. G-O. This is Jesus, and he's just about to ascend into heaven. And afterwards, verse 14, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world. That's the go. There you go. Man, the evangelist is gone, and he never reads the rest of this. He never reads it. Go, and like, where's brother so-and-so? He left the building. He grabbed his attaché case. He's out in the street. He just, when you said go, he goed. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Italicized, it is truth. He did go work with them, but the real meaning is working with and confirming the word. That's how the Greek says it, just with signs following. Amen. Now here's another ascension, same setting, not a different setting. Acts chapter 1. This is the one that the evangelists kind of sometimes, well, they have to know this, because if they're real evangelists, they get filled with the Spirit, because that's when the power really comes. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, this is Mark 16, same setting, same place, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the time or seasons which the Father has put in his own hand, but you shall receive. In other words, this is what you need. You shall receive power After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they, just like in Mark, while they beheld him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So you got to put all this together. And let's look at chapter 2, Acts 2. And it says, so that he told him to go wait. So that's the wait. Mark 16, go. Acts 1 is wait. We just read it. So, Acts 2, 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, they all being the 120, about 120. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat on each of them. And they were all filled. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And then as a result, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let me say a couple things here. This is real good. Okay. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then they began to speak. The essence is not concentrating on the tongue or the utterance. You want to be baptized. That's the essence. It's not like I'm coming forward to get a tongue or get a gift. No, you want to be baptized, your spirit totally immersed with God. And then out of that baptism, out of that extreme baptism that takes place, then the utterance comes from Him. I know people, and if you got started this way by now or soon thereafter, it was you. So don't let the devil scare you. But I've seen well-to-do people do it wrong. And they'll get somebody in front of them and they'll say, okay, let me get you started. And they'll say this. Procerere crescete. I don't know what I said, but I gave my spirit over to the Holy Spirit. And they'll try to, okay, say it again. And they'll try to get them. That's not the way you do it. Why? Because the Bible says the Spirit gives the utterance. You don't give the utterance. You don't give the utterance. It has to come up from Him. So it's all right if you say, well, I got feel that way. Am I got the Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah. I'm sure he got involved in there somewhere. Got you over. Hallelujah. But it's the baptism. It's Him. It's Christ in you. And here's I tell people this. You're not receiving another spirit. In other words, am I going to feel different? No. Christ, when He birthed you by the Holy Spirit, He came in and built the house. David would say it like this. When you're born again, that's something that happened to you. In other words, you became a new person, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You already had a spirit. You already had a spirit. He didn't create a spirit in you. You already had a spirit. But it was the old man. It was filled with death. It lusted. It sinned. It liked sin. The difference between you and the old man that died with Christ is this, that one time you liked it, you wanted more of it. Now, if you do sin, you're like, oh, God, I feel bad about that. Now, if you don't feel bad about it, you need to come to the altar and get saved. Get saved first. That's important. You got to be saved first before you receive the Spirit. Well, can he do it all at once? Absolutely. Cornelius and his bunch, they were sitting there hearing the gospel. And while they're hearing the gospel, they're consenting to it. And all those Gentiles, they got born again and saved instantaneously. Well, it's a process. No, listen, if it's a process, it's a millimeter, nanosecond process. It's opening up your spirit and you're born again, spirit filled, and begin to speak in tongues. But don't concentrate on the tongue. Concentrate on Jesus. Just let it flow. Just let him flow. Now, you might get just one word or a syllable. But if you begin to allow the Holy Spirit to rise up in you, he'll give you, eventually, you'll have a whole vocabulary. And you'll just be praying paragraphs. Does the Holy Spirit pray? How does he pray? He prays like you. The mysteries of God. He prays in sentences, paragraphs, subjects. All the mind of Christ. But it's not the tongue that we're seeking. It's the baptism or giving ourselves over. Well, Pastor, I'm already filled, right? When I'm born again. Dave would say the born again is something that happened to you. The Holy Spirit stepped in to your dead spirit. You already had, you had a dead spirit that came about by the law of Genesis. So many different places. Got to watch. Your spirit didn't come from heaven and enter your mother's womb. Well, I knew you before. There's a lot of that to be explained, and we can. But he didn't have communication with you like you existed somewhere. It doesn't mean that. Well, they came from heaven. No. If they did, then I've got a terrible argument against God. Why did he choose to put some spirits in a deformed body? He didn't have anything to do with that. It came through the law of Genesis. The moment your mom and dad, whether they were married or not married, when she became pregnant, instantaneously, that's why abortion is wrong, is because it's not like, excuse me, it's not like shooting a deer. Some of you are like, oh God, the deer doesn't have a spirit. And God bless you. I know your puppy, I know you love your puppy. And I know you believe the Holy Spirit told you your puppy's going to heaven with you. Or your cat. But it doesn't have a spirit. When it dies, it dies. It's going back to dust. Is it okay? Okay. But you already had a spirit. Enough on that. You already had a spirit. The moment that you got born again, the Holy Spirit came in and created a new spirit, a totally new spirit. Didn't leave any of the other one left. He just took that one and just recreated it. Turned the molecules of human spirit into another human spirit. It didn't become divine. It became a human spirit filled with the life, the law of the spirit of life. You were born again. Now the appetites of sin was gone. Because what fueled that was the old man, that dead man. Now you're like, I love righteousness. I hate it when I do wrong. But that happened to you. Here's something that happens apart from you. The Holy Spirit. He's a separate entity. He steps in. He steps in. You sure it's okay? What do you think? Are you guys okay? Can you hear me okay? It's intermittent up here. So he steps in. He baptizes you. And something happens. But Pastor, aren't I filled with... No. You got born again. He's in there in the sense of the word like, Marty, you can follow me. I'm going to walk off camera, make sure. Am I okay? Yep. So here's the builder and the maker of the house is God. So if my hands create this new edifice, the plaster, the blocks, the concrete, I've created that, and my handprint is in that, and that's your born-again person. The builder and maker is God. He built that. So he's in there, per se, because he created that spirit. Now he wants to fill the house. What he built, he wants to fill. You'll go to heaven without, just because your house has been built by God, you've been born again. You'll go to heaven. But the power doesn't start. The real dunamis power does not start until baptism. How can you prove that? I can prove it for 33 and a half years, for 30 years, Jesus lived a sinless life. But he never did one miracle. Don't believe the Maccabeans and the stupid stories of Jesus doing all kind of neat little miracles while he was a kid. He did no miracles until he was baptized of the Holy Spirit. When he was baptized by water, he came up and he was baptized. And the word says he came out of the wilderness full of the Holy Ghost. Bam, it exploded. Blind eyes, cripples, lame, deaf. That's when the power started. He couldn't even save Joseph, his father. I don't know what, and we don't have scripture on that. But there's no doubt, contextually, he died early in Jesus's life or ministry. He was never there during his ministry, never there at the cross. I don't know what he died from. But Jesus didn't, the power wasn't there until baptism. Can people without the baptism pray? Yes. Can they see healings? Yes. Because they use the name of Jesus and they're born again. Absolutely. Well, Pastor, I'm not filled, but I pray for a bunch. Oh, keep on. But I can tell you, it'll go from one level to the next by baptism. Hallelujah. Well, give me scripture more. I need scripture more. Well, let's talk about the disciples for just a moment. John 20, verse 19. This is after Jesus comes in and he appears. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were his disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Do you see that? Receive the Holy Ghost. Now, did they start speaking in tongues then? They did not. Did he not tell them later, go into Jerusalem and wait at his ascension, which was later, and wait for the promise? Nobody started. Well, what happened to them? Same thing that happens to you when you receive the Holy Spirit for the first time. You're born again. He had already been resurrected, so now everybody could be born again. And the first were the 11. Thomas wasn't there then, but the first 10 receive the Holy Ghost. First time, my God. He's the only candle. There's so many. Help me, Holy Spirit. I got to watch it. He's the only candle on the earth. Only living, only one born of God. And the first time he ever, he's doing, his spirit is doing flip-flop. It's just doing somersaults on the inside. My boys, my disciples, now get to join me. They ministered with me as dead men walking for 3.5 years. Could not be born again because he had not yet been crucified. The atonement had not been paid. They weren't. You can't put the cart in front of the horse. Holy Spirit couldn't regenerate anybody. But when he was resurrected and stepped through that wall, or however he appeared, and said to them and breathed on them, he released born again on the earth. And those first 10 guys were like, born again instantly. Hallelujah. But none of them spoke in tongues. You see that, right? And nobody was spoken tongues. And then Acts chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 4, it says, now this is after the revival starts. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. And there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria. I've got to read all this to get down just a little bit. Giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon, they were baptized in water, both men and women. And Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondering, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Wait a minute, I thought they were baptized in Jesus' name and had been born again. They were. But they came down and gave them the baptism, the fullness. For as of yet, even though they were all baptized in Christ and baptized in Christ's name, water baptism, and confessed him as Lord and Savior, as of yet he, the Holy Spirit, was fallen upon none of them, only that they were baptized in the name of the Lord. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now there's one, it's irrefutable. I mean, if you contextually, I don't know how you would try to explain and really the argument only goes out to people that really want to receive. I don't spend any time trying to, because you won't convince me any other way, and I won't convince you but they were all born again. But it was not until somebody laid hands on them. And you don't always have to lay hands, but the truth is this: they had not yet received, but yet they were born again. But they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. How many of you want the next level? All of us. Now, some of this, and I will start to, by unction, speed up a bit. 1 Corinthians, and you don't have to turn all to these, but I'll just give these to you, and you can, just because you'll be convinced. 1 Corinthians 12:28 says, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. And the last one is diversities, plural, and there really is a plural in the Greek, diversity of tongues. And that means that there are numerous tongues or reasons for tongues. And there are at least four, and I'll just name those, because it gives a great understanding for people to say, well, the man that convinced me that I couldn't pray in tongues all the time told me there'd always have to be an interpreter, or, you know, I don't understand. Well, you'll understand it by knowing, to start with, there are different reasons or different tongues. Tongue for tongue, there's a tongue, and we could go through and give you scripture and verse on this, but time-wise, we're really getting close to our regular hour. There's a tongue of groanings or intercessory tongue. There's a tongue of interpretation, like I say, hey, pastor, I've got a word, or you might not say that, but you ask for the mic, or you kind of, everybody knows, based on you stepping out or stepping forward, you give a tongue, and that tongue is for interpretation. In other words, if you're going to give that tongue, and then I'll tell you this, the word says, and I don't want to get too far ahead because some of you just need to hear the simplicity of it. If you give that tongue where you say, can I have the mic? I want to pray in tongues. I think the Holy Spirit wants me to pray. Well, then you should be in, you, afterwards, you will interpret it. And then there's the tongue of signs, is assigned to the unbeliever, which means, just like at Azusa, they came in, they said, we heard people speak in Portuguese. We heard people speak in, well, it wouldn't be fair in here for, you know, they could speak Portuguese, but most of us can't. But it would be like, you know, some unusual language that's not represented by any of us. And they just, they heard it, and it was convicting them, and it just, that's just what happened on the day of Pentecost. If we were to read on, you'd see that's what happened. And there's, and that's the sign to the unbeliever. But there's a fourth, and this is the one that's the most common, and it's the one, it's the tongue for self-edification. And that's the one that you can do all the time, anytime, anytime you want to. And we know that from Scripture here. Here's the spiritual guidelines, and I could teach. I'm going to really condense this. Excuse me if, for all you that really like to go in verse by verse, I've got to go a little bit ahead because I'm kind of getting the elbow from the Holy Spirit. But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, this comes right after 13. Very intelligent, right? 14 comes after 13. Hallelujah. 13 is all about love and charity and how much love is the foundation of the church. But 14, he continues to talk about spiritual gifts. Chapter 12, he goes into all the 9 gifts of the Spirit. We won't go into that. He's really talking about all this, but he puts a sandwich in there. He puts an incredible, the meat of the sandwich is love. He talks about spiritual gifts in 12. He talks about love. That's the meat of the sandwich. And on the other side of that, here's another slice of bread here. And this is in chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. And that word mysteries is divine secrets. So, pastor, what am I doing if I don't understand what I'm doing when I'm personally praying in tongues? Well, you're speaking mysteries. And those are divine secrets. And they're coming from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, just by the genius of God, leaves you out of it. And there's just, we could there's volumes, and we teach it. But it's my job this morning to condense as much as possible. And you're still praying in tongues, all of you, right? That are can pray in tongues under your breath. And so the Holy Spirit speaks mysteries. Well, what is he praying? He's praying that you be formed into the image of Christ. He's praying a lot of different subjects. He's praying that the things that you don't like yet about your walk in Christ changes. Sometimes he might be praying for family members. Sometimes he might be praying for situations. Sometimes he's praying for situations that are dark rooms that you don't even want to go into. Like, I have had a padlock on that door in my Christianity, because if I look in there, there's scary things in there. There's thoughts in there I don't like to have. There's feelings in there that, and he's praying those, and he leaves you out because, you know, if you were conscious of it, you wouldn't pray it. You wouldn't even want to go there. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and as you begin to pray in tongues, He edifies us. The word edifies is the word edifice. Means He keeps building us up, building us up. Jude 20, verse 20, no chapter 1. Just building us up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It builds you up. It builds you up. It builds you up. It's the steroids of your Christianity. Word is steroids, yes. Praying in tongues is steroids as well. It builds you up on your most holy faith. So it says here, he says, verse 3, but he that prophesied, and I know, but he, I said, I read through 4. Okay, so verse 1 Corinthians 14:5, it says, I would that ye all spake with tongues. Everybody say, all means everybody. Everybody's supposed to speak in tongues. But this whole chapter is a volley, or it is a guideline for the spiritual rules of when you speak in tongues and how a church service should be conducted so that that there's no confusion. And later in this chapter, and I'm not concerned about my notes. I just want to reveal this in the next 5 minutes as he's, and then we'll call you up here. Sometimes you'll hear me praying in tongues for a little bit. That's not out of order. A lot of times it's a tongue and interpretation like it was this morning, or it's equal to prophecy. Or a lot of times it's like he takes me, and I don't know exactly why he does this, but I'll get a quickening by tongues and then I'll go into prophecy. But he tells us a little later in this chapter that we are to vacillate, and that's the best way to use it, vacillate even in our tongues. Like, so for instance, if there was 100 of us, there's probably not that many, but if there was 100 of us and we're all filled, and somebody that walks in and we're all praying in tongues, they're like, you know what, they're a bunch of crazies. I don't know what they're saying, and they're not giving glory to God. It's all right to pray in tongues in a service. And it, where, even where people can, because we sing in tongues, right, sometimes. But we're supposed to vacillate back and forth where people are not, well, okay, I understand that. That makes sense. That's part of it. So is it for everyone? We covered that. But rather that you prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may, and get this, these rules like are for the church service. He's just talking about the church service right here. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or doctrine? Now, like, I'm going to deliberately, because I can, and anybody that is born again or spirit-filled can, I'm going to deliberately turn that on. Somebody said, you have to wait for the... No, okay, 1, 2, 3. Do you know what you said? I could probably listen and get the interpretation, but that was more of an example than anything else. But what if I just stood up here and did that for 2 hours? You'd be like, I know he wouldn't come back. And I wouldn't blame him. It's like, man, like the guy, he's a pretty sweet guy, but he's a little bit nuts because I didn't understand a thing. Well, you obviously, and that's what Paul was saying, I'm not going to help anybody by coming with just tongues only and standing there unless I have an interpretation, unless I have a doctrine, unless I have some kind of something to give the people legibly where they can understand it. But the tongues is that which, you know, along with the word, brought me to the place of revelation. So he says, and even, so he goes into talking about, let me see if I can skip this and do it justice, talks about things by way of example, like instruments. Every instrument has a reason, and if you take the pipe, the harp, all of that, it has to give a distinct sound, otherwise there's confusion. You don't understand the melody. And there's a melody, and there's supposed to be a melody in each church service, or a lack of, there shouldn't be any confusion. So, um, So he says, let me see where I want to pick this up for sake of time. And in verse 13, and again, what I was talking to you about tongue for somebody said, well, that my friend said it would, you have to have an interpreter. Do I have to? No, that is one of those tongues for the entire body that equals prophecy. And he spells that out in verse 13. He says, wherefore, let him that speaketh an unknown tongue in the church service, in essence, pray or out loud, or pastor, can I have the mic? That's a good illustration. Can I pray in tongues? Well, then that person should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. And he says a little later in this chapter, which we don't have here, he says, if you want to pray in tongues, then just pray to yourself. Don't pray where you're so boisterous that people think, oh, they got a word. We need, okay, shut everything down. Let's listen. But if that's not the case, then just pray to yourself. Keep praying in tongues. Again, here's another one. Is it deliberate? He says, what is it then? Okay, here's the volley. When do I pray in tongues in a church? You can pray in tongues in a church service all throughout the service. I ask you all to pray in tongues. But you're not giving a tongue like I need to stop and say, wait a minute, I think Gay's got a tongue here that needs to be interpreted. You're just praying under your breath. But his deliberation was this. Here's where he came to concerning, can I pray in tongues anytime I want to? What is it then? What's the conclusion? I will. Everybody say, I will. I will is a thing of will. In other words, you determine it. I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. In other words, I'll switch back and forth. I will sing with the spirit, means in the Holy Ghost, and I will sing with the understanding also. I can vacillate back and forth. How you doing, guys? Look good today. That's my understanding. Praise God. I love you, Jesus. Jesus, you're Lord, and I love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's up to the individual. I think we much more will just muddy the waters. Could a couple of you guys put that up there? Now, nobody's forced. No, people may or may not be ready. But if you feel like you're convinced and you don't speak in tongues, or you've kind of tested the waters and you kind of feel like you're almost there, but you're not really quite, it's not really flowing, you're welcome to come too. So we're going to lay hands on you and just, you'll be baptized. And we're going to stand. Let's all stand together. And I'm going to ask my preachers or leaders to come and stand behind whoever comes. There may be one or two. There may not be anybody, but I don't think so. I don't think he had me preach this. And those that are you watching. So lead us in something with words of understanding. And if you want to be filled with the Spirit, please come forward and stand here across the front. If you want to be filled with the Spirit with the evidence of praying in tongues, come on, come up and stand.
Standing.
Hallelujah.
In awe of you.
Just come up a little bit further. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Lord, I stand.
Hallelujah.
Standing.
Let them find a way. Come on around here and just line them up.
Jesus. Lord, I stand. Standing.
It's a good group. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Rest of everybody, just don't touch anybody. Just let's just begin to pray.
Standing on all of you, Jesus.
Let me give They're not going to fall out. Nobody's going to fall out. They're just going to receive the baptism. Close that door, Marty, if you would, please. Hallelujah. Now, if you're out there and you're not up here, I'm just going to assume that you can pray in the Spirit. Now, let me give just a couple more minutes of instruction. It'll help you. In just a moment, I'm going to pray over all of you and lead you in a prayer. And I'm so glad that there's some people here that I've just met recently, and I prayed for Junior last week. He almost got filled. Something started happening. My grandson down here, he does speak in tongues, but he's up here to get it more fluently. I know that's what he... And respect my son-in-law being here so much, and my baby, one of my little granddaughters. And we just want everybody to feel comfortable. Zach, glad to see you here. So in just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and you're just going to ask the Lord to baptize you. And I'm going to tell you this, and I will say it's the fruit of the meaning of this, but it's the truth either way. Jesus said, if you would ask your father for something to eat, your loving parent, and I'm paraphrasing, that they would not turn around and give you a serpent or a scorpion or something that would bite you or harm you. So he said, in the same way, those who ask God, the Father, for the Holy Spirit, that he will in no wise allow you to get anything differently. So I'm saying that to guarantee you this. If you just simply mean the prayer of God, baptize me, I'll guarantee you that what comes up inside of you and begins to flow out of you is Holy Ghost. It's not going to... You're a little bit, some of you might be a little bit scared that it might be you, or I don't think anybody here is, that maybe it's a devil or anything. It's impossible. It's totally impossible. It's all going to be totally God. So just relax. I don't want to keep talking, but I do want to tell you that the other thing too is this, is I'll tell you this, and get this part, because this part really helps. The Holy Spirit does not speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit does not speak in tongues. You speak in tongues. He gives the utterance. In other words, it comes from him. You're the one that speaks the words. In other words, he won't force your lips. So if you know Spanish, Creole, Portuguese, whatever you're... If you just continue to say, Jesus, I love you, he won't override that. At some point, you have to say, okay, I'm going to speak. And you don't have to yell it out. Some of you are not real demonstrative. You're kind of maybe a little shy or this. You don't have to yell it out, but just begin to repeat the syllables that are coming up in your mind. Because that what that is as you're being filled, something's coming up. It's like the pot's being filled. The vessel's being filled, and it's bubbling back up. And so whatever words, whatever syllables that come, hallelujah, okay, just shifted me. So right now, I'm going to pray first, and then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Father, right now, we thank you for the work done in these, and for the faith that has been given that they would come forward, and you're so pleased. Now baptize them, each one, in your presence and in the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning. Jesus, right now, each one of you say this with us. All of us together will say this. Heavenly Father, you said that if I ask for the Holy Spirit, I would only receive the Holy Spirit. I can't get anything else. Father, I ask you for the Holy Spirit. I turn off my mind and I just yield to you. And I thank you that it's simple. And I receive the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, all of you that are in the building and all of you that are up here, and you leaders, you come up here alongside of me a little bit. And you women, you're going to have to help me a little bit. And you men. So, yes. And I'm going to just lay my hands on you. And when I do, I'm going to say, releasing the Holy Spirit. And you can start speaking in tongues right now because he's already here. If you feel like you want to, what's happening, Zach? Huh? Yeah, he says, he started laughing. He goes, I think I'm speaking in tongues. Yeah, because he's just flowing, man. See, that's what I'm talking about. Don't wait on me. Wait on me. Joe's already filled, so just get him just flowing. Do you want me to pray for you, baby? Maybe this will be the first time, okay? You're so, isn't she the prettiest thing you've ever seen? Jesus, release your glory on her. Baptize her. In Jesus' name. I think something's happened a little bit. Work with her, Tia. Daughter can say, Watson, you pray in tongues, I think, on the way to work sometimes. Man, he's already praying in tongues. Man, when do I get to do my prayer? Lay hands on somebody and get them filled. Come on. I know you're kind of new at this, but go ahead. Receive the Holy Spirit. That's it. Start moving those lips. You're doing good. Marcia, work with her. She's already feeling. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. Just continue to just allow whatever. Rosie, come around here and work with her. You got born again just a few weeks ago. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive. You're worthy to receive. That's it. Let him just come up. Whatever. Yeah, that's it. Donde le carece de dia satala, non de calasa la careste de dia tala, non de la careste de Robert, come around here. De la careste, encourage him to kind of let it go, come out and see if he's speaking other than his language. Or carece, it started last week. So lift your hands. De la careste de. Hallelujah. You know some of the things that you got to do outside of church, right? And you're going to do those things, right? And I believe you will. So in Jesus' name, God counts you worthy. So just go ahead and let the Holy Spirit. Go ahead. Yes. Speak the words out. Let yourself hear the words. Receive. Receive. That's it. Let your tongue just begin to flow. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just keep, Watson's going good there. Keep flowing with it, working with him. Vladi. Work with him just a little bit. He's getting it, but he just hadn't been able to release it. Just encourage him. That's my Zach's having a good time. What? Would you lift your hands and just magnify the Lord? Dela carasala careste de credidi, dola carasala carasala carediriata la careste de, dida la carasala carase la caradidi diete la caraso, dela carasala careste de, dila carata la carase de diasala, donde le bequida la carasala carase de diatala, dola mala carasala carase la carese de, ne de la carasola careste, worship you, Jesus, worship you, Jesus, worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. He's doing good. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Kele kerediya la kala sala kereste de diatela. Zola bade bediya sala kereste de. Dola bala kara dala kereste le kerediya la kara stala. Dela. He's standing here. He goes, I think I'm speaking in tongues. He's, he, well, his mom and daddy's worked with him for years, so he's doing good. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 All right, I'm gonna stop everything for just a second, because I haven't. Some of you have started moving your lips, and I didn't get close enough and invade in your world to make sure that you were actually a language was coming other than what you know. But some of you, I said, are you praying? And yes, you kind of shook your head. Now we don't want anybody going away where you we say you got something, and it only just. You were just close. We want everybody flowing. We want to, or at least if you only have one word, just repeat that word over and over again. And you can kind of remember, it'll stick. And just start, because he gives the utterance, but you can go back and say that word because it came from him from the beginning. So just start, I'm going to count to three because I want you to see how deliberate this is. And I want everybody, Miss Barber, would you come up here, please? Hallelujah. Just stand over there with Miss Gay, and y'all come over here close to me. And so in Jesus' name, we want all of you to be really sure. If any of you are like, but I'm not sure, just kind of lift a hand or something. We'll come to you and work with you, and we won't isolate you. But on the count of three, everybody in the room that's filled, we're going to start praying again, okay? Deliberately, just because we want to, okay? Hallelujah. So 1, 2, 3. Go. Crece la brada da bra credede, crece le crada la crada do cresce de tidiatala, dola brace le cresce de ridiatela, zonda la cresce de ridi ala cradalo crotele cresce de ditiela, sora bala bracere diatala crada la cro delle bedidi diatele, sola cresce de diatala, sede credi ala crasatala. De la caresse le credi di atala, se la caressa la caresse le caresse de credi di atala. Just keep on for a little bit. Stretch your faith. Hallelujah. Caresse la caresse la caresse de do ba de bidi di o sola caresse de di atala, do la caresse de caresse di atala. Ira la coro caresse la caresse la. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Sikara solo krosala, deira la krasala kreste de diata la krasala, dola bara bara kreste de kredia la krasala, dola da da krada la kratele kredi diatele, dola da 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 krasala baro kreste de di. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. You, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Mala corosa la caressa tere cristete. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Corosa la cristete. Hallelujah, Jesus. De caressa la cristete. De da caressa la crosseta. Did he get, okay. So you confirmed he's okay. Is he starting? Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. I know Joe is flowing. Yeah. You're too cute. Okay. She's too cute. Watson, you've already been praying in tongues for a little while, haven't you? I think. I'm not. Keep going, Watson. I respect you so much. He's praying in spirit. He's doing good, man. Zach, he's flowing. she's doing okay?
She got filled.
Okay. Okay. He got, okay. It's just about, I think, 90% at least, almost everybody. Hallelujah. He's to, yeah, Kedis, Kedis. Yeah, good. Yes, and he's, yeah, he did it. That's good. That's good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, though, all of everybody that's staying online with us. We love you. Hallelujah. Great. It's just wonderful. We didn't force anybody. We just said anybody that wants to. Hallelujah. Jesus. Now, I'm going to excuse the mic today. My technician is going to take care of everything. We'll have he probably already has one in the mail. We want the best, the best, the best, the best. And if there's a better one than the best, we want the better one. Okay. Okay. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless this assembly. And in Jesus' name, thank you for these that were baptized and these that just started flowing all the more, that were already to some degree. But now seal this thing. Bless it, Lord. And if there's anybody that's just was, I think almost every single person got filled, Lord. But if there's anybody that's in a little bit in question, seal it today. Cause them to know they're filled. They're going to be, you know, Lord, go walking in their fullness. We bless this evening. We bless. There's prayer tonight for anybody that wants to come. We got a slow start last week, but we're going to be raging this week. Hallelujah. Miss Gabe, we're not going to do this all the time, but we're going to do live confession tonight. Okay. We're going to go back to old school for one, at least one service. Hallelujah. So all of you, thank you for praying with us and staying with us during this service. Congratulate all of these candidates, all these people. And if they have questions, we'll work with them, and they'll see somebody that has an elder or somebody, and we'll answer their questions. But I think most of those questions were addressed today. Hallelujah. One more time on the count of three. It's so deliberate, okay? One more time. You say, you're playing with this. I'm having fun, aren't you? I mean, let's not. One, two, three. Cresce la rode le brada la brode le bride la brada la bo cresce de de. Ida la adidi iti akata non de idi ala soto la kad de harasala. Ha ha ki ho ho. Azusa is coming, saith the Lord. That's what I just said. Azusa is coming to Immokalee. Karese la karasa. I got the interpretation on that one. Hira karasa la karese de. Hallelujah. You're blessed. Have a wonderful day. I will see you soon. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless. And anybody that wants to...